Okay, good evening, YouTube. Welcome back to this next episode of FPL Family with me, Lee, and this is Sam. And you find us in both in very good moods after this weekend. Very good weekends of football. Congratulations to all the Liverpool fans out there. A Carabao Cup in the bag. Obviously, I'm not going to be able to wipe this smile off my face for the whole evening. I'm delighted with the win. Delighted with it. Tell us about the game. How did you feel about it? What did you think?
I might sneeze.
You might sneeze. Well, while you might sneeze, I'm going to talk about one of the best nil-nils I've ever seen. What an unbelievable nil-nil that was.
It was
how many goals ruled out for offside,
five,
for VAR?
Six? I don't know.
For three at least for Chelsea. One for us on VAR. Possibly one for us offside as well. It was a bonkers game.
Just lost
bonkers
count
game.
Of like all of the kind of... It was end-to-end. Liverpool starting halves badly, finishing halves well.
Yeah.
Chelsea starting halves well, finishing halves badly. It was just...
It'll be interesting to see what it means for the FA Cup games in midweek, because both teams look shattered extra time.
But the thing is, you've both got games you really
reasonable
should win.
What have Chelsea got? We got Norwich at home. I actually don't know who Chelsea have got. Tips in the chat, he'll tell us.
Can't remember who Chelsea
don't know,
got,
but
actually.
Winnable, because I remember the draw being made, and actually all of the top clubs, it was like, oh yeah, that's winnable.
Yeah, because when they were talking about the Chelsea-Norwich game moving from 30 to 28, I remember thinking, well, Chelsea should win that, although Norwich probably won't against you. Chelsea should win theirs, so...
And that is significant news, by the way, guys, FPL-wise, and of course we'll do everything that we normally do on these live streams. We'll talk through some of the big talking points from the FPL-verse this weekend, and we'll look ahead to next game week, because... Take a breath, Sam, because we're going again next weekend with another double game week for some players. I just have a dear, but we have to pause for a second to give a shout out to the man that's on the screen right now, Christian Eriksen. Unbelievably great to see him back on a football pitch. And I'll tell you what, pinging it about like he's never been gone. Some of the passes he was pulling off were unreal. But from, I don't know how many months ago it was that he collapsed on the pitch
days,
or whatever it was.
250
odd days.
For
this guy... To even be pulling on a pair of boots and playing again is unreal. So Christian Eriksen, absolutely delighted. Honestly delighted to see this guy back.
I lived
it was
for it.
Brilliant. The reception that he got was absolutely warranted. It was fantastic.
I just
absolutely
so wish that the Brentford-Spurs game that's to come later on in the season was Spurs versus Brentford, because the reaction he would have got walking out the Tottenham
Hotspur. He actually got a good reaction from the Brentford fans, but I feel like... He'd get like a monster reaction from Spurs fans.
Oh, if he... I so wish that game was the other way around, because he would... It would just be such a overwhelming reach of love, I think.
Yeah.
And it will be when we go to Brentford, of course, but it's just less travelling fans. I would have loved to have been able to give him that, because he's incredible.
Yeah, no doubt. The chat is saying quite rightly, they've got Luton away, Chelsea, by Luton away. So it's by no means an easy place to go, Luton, right? But... You'd expect Chelsea to get through. But the news that you touched on just before we talked about that...
Yeah, thanks to Norwich for sharing that with us all.
That is quite key, actually. Talk us through that announcement in case you've missed it.
Norwich basically announcing that if Chelsea or Norwich win, or both, in the FA Cup this week, then their game from game week 30 will be rescheduled into game week 28. So it will come forward a couple of weeks.
Which means Chelsea double game week in 28.
Which would give Chelsea a double game week of Crystal Palace and Norwich in game week 28.
All of a sudden, the Chelsea assets right back on the radar, no doubt about it. Because that's a decent looking double game week
with
fixture.
Nice fixtures to come. And all right, yes, we'd blank in 30, but most FPL managers have got a plan for 30.
Yeah, so keep an eye on the Chelsea assets. Worth scouting them today if they've got that double game week coming up. And of course, circumstances might dictate that doesn't happen, but if Liverpool and Luton both won, then it wouldn't happen. Is that the correct thing?
Yes, because then they'd both be available to play that game in game week... game week 30.
Yes.
But if one of them wins, that game will
stick
come
it into
28. 28.
So listen, look, as usual in FPL, guys, you've got to stay fluid with your strategy. You've got to think about what you're doing, plan ahead. And a lot of FPL managers this week opting for the free hit. I'm on one and I'm holding it back for the future. I think for 30. But we've got to have a look at how the next round of FA Cup fixtures falls. If there's a couple of upsets in there, maybe we don't need it. But right now I'm holding it back for that. But a lot of FPL managers playing the free hit in 27 this week. Success or not, based on the results we've had? What do you think? And of course, we've still got one game to go, right? Burnley versus Leicester still to go.
Well, it's difficult because, I mean, from a Manchester City point of view, most people were going Cancelo, Sterling, Mahrez, from what I saw. So obviously worked
Kevin
well.
Kevin De Bruyne as well.
So worked well from a... Well, most of the free hits I saw were Sterling, Mahrez, but yeah, there were some KDBs in there. So obviously worked from a Cancelo point of view, but for the majority of managers, you would have already had Cancelo in as a normal player in your normal FPL team anyway. And most people not keeping Foden on a free hit. So probably
that's
not...
That's going to hurt if you've done that.
Yeah, so probably not that successful from a Man City perspective. Obviously also probably not that successful from a Aston Villa perspective either, because the likes of Ollie Watkins and Luka Dean went out on free hit teams.
Yeah,
and of course
true
they
enough.
Both returned. Would have been successful from a Spurs perspective had you brought in Harry Kane. Yeah. And
anyone opting for Kulusevski on a free hit? Talk about him a bit later on, because I've got a little bit of a theory about how that front three is working, and goodness me, they really are working. Talk about players coming into a new setup and hitting the ground running. He's done very well, Kulusevski.
Yeah, very much enjoying him as
well. We'll talk about Spurs a bit later on, and they are a key topic for us to talk about. We talk about them every bloody week anyway, but they are a key topic for us to talk about because they've got the double game week coming up.
29.
A lot of us will have Son and or Kane, and of course, neither of us right now has Kane in our team. But I'll tell you what, that is one of, and I know the opposition, and you guys will come at me in the chat, it was Leeds and Leeds were bad, I get all that, but take nothing away from that performance from Harry Kane at the weekend. Second overall for BPS in the game week. Without looking, who do you think was top for BPS in the game week, by the way? Across all players?
Oh, it's going to be someone random.
It is random, and it is a Spurs player. Someone who had, from a BPS perspective, a better game than Harry Kane. Matt Doughty.
Oh, for God's sake.
Matt Doughty, top for BPS with 50
well,
this
actually,
game
I'm
week.
Not, I'm not surprised because he kept a clean sheet and he got a goal. Yeah. Although they shouldn't have kept a clean sheet, should they? Shout out to Stuart Dallas. What on earth?
I don't. That moment summed up Leeds right now. I thought they were just lacking confidence all over the shop. We'll go into more detail on that game a bit later on, but needless to say, a bit of Spurs chat, no doubt about it, as we go through the show. And of course, we'll talk about our overall ranks and how we're doing, green arrows, red arrows, all that sort of stuff. But for me, I certainly saw this week as a bit of a damage limitation week.
I did too. I kind of felt if I stayed about par, I was happy with it.
There's a lot of free hits out there. A lot of free hitters playing the fixtures quite rightly. Man City, Man United. And actually, so my answer to my own question, I actually don't think it was a success for the free hitters. I think if you free hit, unless you went for a Kulusevski and a Foden, probably a bit of a fail on the free hit. But of course, if you doubled up the Burnley defence or whatever, they've got another game coming up, so that could all change on Tuesday. And if you've got Veghorst captain, that could change again on Tuesday, of course. But right now, feels like a bit of a fail for the free hitters in 27. But all could change. All could change. Let's say hello to a few people. Chris Ollie is in. He says, it's a fail for me. 50 points currently. That doesn't sound too bad to me.
But I think when a lot of people look back at their other teams, which is what you inevitably do when you've played a free hit, is that you go, well, how many would I have had I just stuck with my team? And there was a lot of players
that
would have been in your teams this week did perform.
Yeah, okay. Marvin Johnson is in. He says, Sam, your hair looks lovely.
Right.
I told you, the hair looks good today. It does look good today.
Honestly, thank you. I very much appreciate it. Yeah. I have not done anything with it since yesterday.
There you go. Marvin, any comments?
I cut Lee's hair yesterday. Does it look nice?
Does it look all right? Yeah.
I think it looks nice.
We've got into this little habit now of you cutting my hair.
I cut your hair.
I used to go to the hairdresser all the time, and then lockdown, obviously couldn't.
No, I
grew it like an absolute nest, and it was horrendous. And I was
like, because you didn't trust me.
And I was like, right, I can't have this anymore. I'm going on work Zooms, like trying to look professional, and I've got this nest on my head. I just can't do it. So I let you at it, and to be fair, you've done very well. Done very well. Now I've never got the hairdressers anymore. It's great. Liam Healy is in. Evening, Liam. Sam, hi, Liam.
Hi,
how are you doing, mate? Nice to see you. The OG Scott Schrager is in. Great game. Sorry to see it end like that. Congratulations, Lee. Yeah, cheers, Scott. It was a great game. Despite the 0-0, it was a great game. No doubt about it. Both teams looked pretty gassed.
Lee was very stressed.
I was stressed.
He was very stressed.
I was.
Just sitting quietly.
Yeah.
Letting it play out.
Yeah, no doubt. No
channeling doubt. My inner Simmercast.
Kazi Hyder is in. Thanks, Lee, for the Ericsson poster. Much appreciated. Yeah, it had to be in, didn't it? It had to be in this week. I mean, it's just such a moment. Such a moment.
He's a hero.
Paul Cook says, Captain Kane this week, Sam, 22 points.
Hurrah!
Happy days. What a performance. So good.
Very good.
Harry Watton is in. He says, no free hit, Sam, this week. And got 71, by the way.
Well, see, now that...
71, no free hit.
But that is a prime example of what I was talking about before, because there were a lot of players out there that did perform well,
yeah,
that you would have got rid of on a free hit. So if you kept them, if you have Matt Cash, if you've got Luka Dean.
Matt Cash, what a goal, by the way.
Even Tyrone Mings, actually, the Aston Villa boy, he's doing bits this weekend. So if you had Villa players and a couple of Spurs in there and you know, you stuck with those guys, then actually could have done really well.
No doubt. Marvin's back in the chat. He's saying, Lee sounds jealous now. Ha ha, I am. Carl Watson's back in with a, Lee, your hair looks spot on. Thanks, Carl. Much appreciated.
It's also another compliment for me, though, if your hair looks good.
Nuclear atoms. Lee's hair looks well shaped. Oh, listen, I didn't ask for any of this, guys. I didn't ask for any of it.
I'll take it as a compliment.
I'm getting
all
shy now. I'm
doing all right job, I think, with the hair.
Torben Nielsen, good evening. How are we doing? Scott Schrager, Sam has the hair. Lee has the silverware. I'll take it. No doubt about it. Who else have we got in? Paul Dubrow.
Can I have the FA Cup, please?
Well, maybe. The way Spurs are playing at the minute, who knows? Hit and miss, but very good against Leeds. Very good against Leeds. Michael Whoopsie's in 77. No free hit, plus one to come.
Very nice.
Oh, goodness me. Some scores in here tonight, guys. And a whole host of you guys in this evening. So welcome to the live stream. Thank you for joining us this evening. Let's get into, Sam, some of these results. So as usual, we're not going to go through result by result like we used to. We're going to talk about the key FPL talking points. Where do you want to start? What I'd like to talk about immediately off the bat is, we've got let me get the fixtures up.
Go on then.
Because we've got to kind of talk about this weekend's games in the context of next week. Because the context of next week, double game weeks, there's a lot of teams with some really nice looking fixtures. So let's go to this one, next game week's fixtures. And if you're a member on the Fantasy Football Scout website, if you're not, there's a link in the description below for you to join. Want to go and join over there. It's awesome. We use a lot of the data, a lot of the members area stuff for the live streams here, including the fixture difficulty rating, their customizable fixture difficulty rating chart. And what you can do is the Scout guys, the Scout experts will kind of put a fixture difficulty rating between 1 to 5 on each of these games, and then you can sort it by difficulty. But if you disagree with that, you can put your own difficulty rating on there and completely customise it, which is perfect. But this is the uncustomised. This is what, according to Fantasy Football Scout, the fixtures look like in terms of difficulty going forward. And here are the teams, Sam, that I do want to spend a bit of time talking about on tonight's live stream. So Wolves, double game week coming up in 28, Crystal Palace and Watford at home.
Yes.
Look really, really good. I want your thoughts in particular on Raul Jimenez in a bit, because benched today, come on, only got about, what, 10 minutes, 5, 10 minutes, something like that. What's that all about?
Wholesale changes today.
Odd, wasn't it? Yeah, odd. But we'll talk about that in a sec. Leeds, who look a little bit shot at the minute, but have got Leicester and Aston Villa going into 28, and a lot of rhetoric, a lot of narrative, here we go, my words.
A lot of
narrative about Bielsa on Twitter and elsewhere. Still, as we speak, and this could go out of date quite quickly, it's Sunday night, still currently Leeds manager.
Oh, is he not gone now? I thought he'd gone now.
I don't know. I don't think he's gone official.
I haven't got my phone.
I don't think he's gone. I think it looks pretty bad for him. It looks pretty bad for him. I don't know. I might be wrong. The chat will tell us. But I thought he was gone. It's not looking good for him. Elsewhere, Newcastle, Brighton and Southampton at home. Southampton, who, by the way, are playing very, very well at the moment. Villa and Newcastle.
Hmm.
And then you've got a whole host of teams that have got single game weeks, but then good double game weeks next week, like Chelsea, like Arsenal, like Spurs, who we'll talk about, like Everton, who are starting to show maybe a little semblance of form. There's Aston Villa with Southampton Leeds. Good double game week in 28, but then West Ham away in 29. That's to get a bit more difficult for them after the double game week. And then you can, I mean, if we've got time, we'll talk about the fact that, you know, Man United, for example, bottom of the pile right now. So it's, are we all piling off of actually this week's top XG underachiever, Bruno Fernandes? How that guy did not get any points this week, I do not know. And Ronaldo, to be fair, but Bruno in particular.
I must admit that
so many chances.
When I saw Ronaldo 2 weeks ago,
yeah,
in a rage, I was quite worried about the last two fixtures because they looked really good on paper.
Oh, Bielsa gone. You're right.
Yeah,
you're gone.
I thought it's official.
He's gone.
I thought this morning it was official.
Oh, I thought he was on last knockings, but no, you guys are official. He's done.
Last night he was. It was on. Okay. We were out, weren't we? And it was on, like, with the lawyers.
So he's come in, this Jesse American guy.
I don't think they've announced anyone yet. Well, I hadn't seen it anyway, but then I have been just watching Simicast for the last 2 hours. So
it's one of my favourite quotes you've ever made. Simicast, in case you haven't watched it, and why would you unless you're a Liverpool fan, all of the kind of the reaction, the celebration after the cup win. Simicast, You said Tsimikas is my spirit animal, and I loved it because Tsimikas is every Liverpool fan right now. He's just living his best life.
Tsimikas, honestly,
just living his best life.
I think that guy. I know this is off on a tangent because it's really not FPL related, but I think that guy is an absolute legend. He's dancing around. Why is he second in the queue for the trophy? How has he ended up with the base? Why has he got the base? When he goes to have his picture taken, why is he the only one that's got his picture taken with the whole trophy with the base on it?
He's unreal.
He's a
great
hero.
He's great.
And then he's prancing around in the change room like he's scored the winning penalty. I've got so much time for him.
Let's move away from Tsimikas. And let's, unlike the song, let's talk about Bruno. Because...
Well, I was really worried.
Got to talk about him.
I was really worried when I sold Ronaldo 2 weeks ago because I thought this is prime Ronaldo, Man United trolling territory, this.
Watford at home. It was a reluctant sell with that fixture coming up. No doubt about it.
But we've dodged a bit of a bullet because although against Leeds there was a... Well, not from Ronaldo, but there was from Bruno returns. But then this game, it's like... I cannot fathom how Manchester United haven't scored in that game. I know Ben Foster had a particularly good game and credit to Foster. And, you know, well done if you had Foster in your goal. Although most people didn't. Particularly if you were free hitting this week, you've probably left Foster on your bench.
Yeah, let's briefly bring this up. I don't want to spend too long talking about Man U because, as we've suggested,
but it's time to
get
off
now. The fixtures look terrible, and it is time to go. You've got to sell Ronaldo if you're still holding.
Oh, we have to, because you look at the fixtures for the other clubs around. You're going to want to go in on the double game weekers. You know, we've got to assume that Chelsea are going to also be part of this double, so you're going to want Chelsea players back in. Most people don't have them. You're going to need the money out of Bruno and Ronaldo, and therefore, if you've still got them, now's the moment.
Yeah. All right. So of all those teams that have got that double game week coming up, where do you want to start? I wouldn't mind talking about Southampton, actually.
Go on, then.
Because we sat here last week, and this is another classic Sam from FPL family moment, where you sat here, or I sat here, and I said, well, I'm bringing in Broya. Broya's the one I'm bringing in, because he had a great season, looked really good, looked sharp in the old season, and he did at the weekend, no doubt. And you sat here and you said, yeah, but Adams has looked good more recently, and he's a nice differential.
Yeah, I know.
So who did you bring in?
Broya.
I love it. I absolutely love it. I'm here for it.
But I sit with Tsimikas. Tsimikas told me to do it.
Tsimikas told me to do it.
No, I did it. There was method in my madness. I'll be... I was conscious
you
of...
You can't deny, over the course of a season, Broya over Adams. No one's really picking Che Adams over Broya, are they? No.
If money was no object, I would have picked Adams.
Really?
But the reason I didn't is because I was conscious of what I wanted to do in the next couple of weeks. And that additional money was really important for my transfer plans going forward. And I thought, yes, I can trust my gut, which was to go Che Adams. But I'm putting myself in a difficult spot because I was really quite sure I wanted to go for double Spurs. Yeah. And at that moment, when I was making the decision on Broya, I was thinking, I've got to find a way to get Kane and Son. That's going to be really hard if I've put money in Che Adams. I need to go for the cheapest option possible in that third striker spot.
Yeah.
But I was also conscious that I was looking at the Chelsea fixtures. This was obviously pre the notice from Norwich, but I was conscious that they're going to have doubles. It was likely they were going to blank in 30. And I wanted a Chelsea player in. So that additional million and a bit was really vital, hence going Broya. And it's
So where else are we looking in Southampton then? Because is it worth a double up? Are we back in on Tino Livramento?
Well,
Or are we looking at, you know, the other side, actually, Carl Walker-Peters?
I thought Walker-Peters was great.
Not only he played well, got the 3 bonus points this week, but is there some doubt about Tino on the other side?
Yeah.
Because you've got Perot come in while Livramento was injured, played really well. Perot then, I think, gets ill or COVID. So Tino, Tino comes back in for a bit. And there was a bit of uncertainty as to who was going to start this week. And Tino got the nod. Now, is he first choice there or not?
So, and I don't think we will know. I think it will be rotated.
So in your opinion, is Walker-Peters worth a bit extra for that little bit of certainty?
I mean, yes, absolutely.
Probably.
But again, it goes back to that whole conversation about budgets and whether you can afford to budget for him. It's not that much more expensive, Carl Walker-Peters, so it, in my opinion, probably is worth it. Yeah.
Okay. James Ward-Prowse, possible?
I think it was really unlucky, James Ward-Prowse. I mean, I spent a lot of last week talking about James Ward-Prowse.
I really fancied him.
He had a good game. He could have and should have probably got returns in that one. I think he's definitely worth having for the double game weeks. If you bought him in this week, just keep him for
next. Just hold. Good time to be a Saints fan, isn't it?
Yeah, doing
they're
really well.
Doing
really
very well.
Well.
Ralph Hasenhüttl's got.
I was impressed.
Them,
I know, and I know they played Norwich.
Well.
But I was impressed with them on Friday night. I thought they had played really well.
They're doing very, very well. Let's have a look at your team then. So Leeds versus Spurs. I'll get your opinion on Spurs in a second, but just a word on Leeds. I mean, here's a team that we need to be targeting in FPL for all the other reasons, don't we? They cannot defend as a unit. It's just
Bielsa's gone.
Is that going to help or not? I mean,
well, the thing is that the reality is, and I really like Bielsa. However,
I do as well. Yeah, absolutely.
They've been doing poorly for a while, and nothing has changed. He's still playing the same players in the same formation with the same strategy.
Same system, yeah.
And it's been, what is it now, something like 20 goals in six games or something.
They're not just getting beat, they're getting battered
like
every week.
It's smashing every week. Yeah. And the reality is that Spurs had a massive lull in the middle of that game in the same way that Liverpool did the other night. If they'd have kept playing properly, it could have been six or seven in both of those, you know, it wasn't yours, but it could have been multiple more. So there are... I don't know now what happens. The arrival of the new manager, obviously things always take time. Will we get a quick turnaround? I doubt it. Do they have the personnel for a quick turnaround? I've been saying to you for a while now, you know, Patrick Bamford is not a defender. However, what he will do is get you goals. And in that Leeds team, they haven't had anybody that's been really getting them regular goal returns. And if you're going to concede as many as you are, you need somebody at the front kind of pulling you along. You're not getting that. So it's a very tough moment for Leeds.
Yeah.
Right now, until we see what happens under the new manager, I think they are still a team to target, yes.
Yeah. I'm not... I hear your Bamford thing, and I think the malaise in front of goal that they've had recently has just exacerbated them. But they're playing badly as a team, and that's not giving them any confidence when they get in front of goal into those positions.
Sure.
But defensively...
Awful.
Is it just as straightforward as they really miss Calvin Phillips? Or, and they've got a couple of other injuries there, haven't they? So they're not exactly full strength at the minute. So should we be targeting them from an FPL perspective? And or actually, I mean, let's remind ourselves of the fixtures. They are right up there with Southampton, we mentioned before. Wolves, who we'll come on to. Leicester, who they come up again. I mean, that could be 6-6 that game, couldn't it? The way those two defend.
Yeah.
And then you've got Aston Villa at home and then Norwich at home in 29. So if you've got Rafinha in your team,
you have
can't
to hold.
Sell him, can you? Ahead
no.
of that, you're holding him.
You
right?
have to hold him. And actually,
Wolves away in 30, Southampton in 31. By then, we'll know a bit more about the effects of post Bielsa and everything else, and then you might make a decision on Rafinha. But with double and then Norwich, you can't. You've got to hold him.
Yeah, and you watched him against Spurs. I mean, Rafinha was, if anyone was going to score against Spurs, apart from the Dallas
free kick
minutes,
end of the game,
it should have been
Rafinha.
There was a couple of moments where
the one you mentioned before, where who was it that was through on goal and just fluffed his lines?
Dallas.
Was it Dallas?
And he could have squared it to
all
Rafinha.
All he's got to do is roll it to Rafinha for a complete tap-in. It's just unbelievable lack of composure from Dallas. It was shocking.
Which is unusual for him, because normally, actually, he's... You would have. I'd have put
right
money on him.
Last season, he banged up, doesn't he? Yeah. Totally.
So yeah, I mean, look, it was a poor performance from Leeds. I don't really know what the outcome is going to be in terms of how quickly we'll see a bounce, if we see a bounce. I don't, because I think the issue is they've got so many injuries.
Yeah.
Have they got a fit enough squad to bounce?
Yeah.
That's my concern for Leeds.
I still think Rafinha would do so well.
You do not need any more midfielders.
Love Rafinha at my
club. Where? Where's he going to play?
Oh, just in goal, wherever. He's so good.
In goal.
Rafinha is, he's mustard. He is mustard.
He's no Simicast.
He's just at the minute, he's no Simicast. You're quite right about that. But right now, he is the only one that looks anything like getting an FPL point at Leeds. No doubt about it. Go on then, give us your view on how Spurs played, and in particular that front three and who we should target. Going into, let's remind ourselves of the Spurs fixtures, looking pretty good. Everton at home, who, under Frank Lampard at the minute, one week they're great, one week they're rubbish. Who knows? And we'll talk about the result they should have had against Man City at the weekend with that penalty shout and that VAR call. Oh my God. But who knows what sort of Everton we're going to get against Spurs. But then it's Man United and Brighton away, West Ham at Newcastle at home. If you've got Son and or Kane, would you add to those with the other, or would you go a bit rogue and choose Kulusevski or someone else? How are you feeling about Spurs right now?
I tell you something, Kulu has really impressed me in a way that I wasn't anticipating.
Been
actually,
good,
I was expecting to be impressed by Bentancur. When Bentancur arrived, I was like, okay, here we go. This is a decent player to play alongside Højbjerg.
I've been impressed with him as well, though, when he's played.
I mean, he's picked up a knock, which is why he was out. It's not a long-term thing. He should be back probably by next week.
Yeah.
Wouldn't have thought he'd play in the FA Cup. But I have been impressed by him. But Kulu, I was thinking, oh, maybe he's just a one for the future. He's a bit, where's he going to play? Where's he going to play? Is he going to play in Lucas Moura's spot? Is he going to sort of have a wing-back position? Because Conte was talking about him moving around, and I was thinking, oh, I'm not sure. But look to talent. Well, my goodness, has he settled into the Premier League? Well,
yeah, he's
strong in a way that Spurs aren't. He's physical in a way that Spurs aren't.
Yeah.
He.
Do you think, here's a question for you, a bit devil's advocate. Do you think he makes Son a worse FPL asset? And here's why I'm asking you that question. Because I noticed during this game... Listen, just hear me out on this one. Because when I was watching that game at the weekend, watching this Leeds game, and Harry Kane was unbelievable. He is on fire at the moment, Harry Kane. He's dropping deep when he should. He's playing like a quarterback. Some of the balls forward are like proper Lampard, Gerrard-esque balls. They're unbelievable. Plus, he's getting in and around those areas to score goals when he's making the right decisions at the right time. Everything good about Harry Kane right now. But what I will say about his relationship with Son is it's almost telepathic. When he picks the ball up, he automatically looks for him. However, when Kulusevski's on the pitch, it's not as automatic, I don't think. I think Kane gets his head up and thinks, which option should I be going for here? And often he'll make the right decision, and that's benefiting Kulusevski, because Kulusevski's movement is very good. I think I agree with you, he's been good. But it's not automatic, and it wasn't automatic until, notice, Kulusevski went off against Leeds, and then straight away, bang, picks it up, quarterback pass to Son, goal. And it becomes automatic again. I think Kane's got options now.
But Son should have scored a couple before he scored the one that he did.
Okay, yes.
There were a couple of moments in that game where it's not like suddenly Kane's putting every ball through to Kulu and Son's getting nothing until he leaves. I agree with you in terms of we don't see Kane putting those balls through to Lucas Moura in the same way that we see him putting through to Kulu. So when Kulu's on the pitch, it is a different, slightly different game. But I don't think he makes Son a bad option. I don't think he lessens the appeal of Son.
I feel like you're a bit on the edge of the camera here. I feel like I'm a bit central. Hold on, let me just move this.
Oh my gosh.
There we go. Look at that. That's one for the podcasters. Look, there we go. You're a bit more in the frame now. I felt like you were a bit... The hair was getting chopped off. And
oh no, let's don't be honest, cut the hair off.
You know, the hair's got to be in, isn't
we're
it?
We're here for the
in.
Hair today. I'll curl it more often and go sleep on it. Yeah, so I think Son's a really good option. I think what we have now is a situation where, for me, I was kind of trying to think with my FPL team. I've got Son. I'm very happy with him. I love him.
Listen, I'm not saying sell Son. I'm far from it.
But I think that what Kulu offers you is a little bit of potential, because those Spurs fixtures, if you run that fixture ticket right through till the end of the season, and you take out game week 30, if it's a blank, if Spurs make it through in the FA Cup and all of that jazz... Only Arsenal sit above Spurs in that fixture ticker from now till the end of the season. And they're all games that Spurs should be scoring goals in, which means the potential for the double up is definitely on. Now, doubling up Kane and Son, so difficult financially.
Mm. With Salah as well.
Salah's
there,
there's Trent, there's all these other players that you want, right? But can you go Kane and Kulu or Son and Kulu? Absolutely.
Possible.
So there is a potential double up there.
And how much is Kulusevski in FPL?
6.5.
Is he that cheap?
Yeah.
Oh, goodness me. Okay.
So there is definitely potential that you can do it with him and one of the others. And he does seem to be, and I think he will continue to be, the preferred player in that position.
Even with a slight rotation risk around Moura,
Bergwijn
and others,
Bergwijn's out of the question.
Bergwijn, you think so? Okay.
Bergwijn comes on for 10 minutes here and there. There is a slight rotation with Lucas Moura, although picked up a knock in training. But I think what Kulu is offering...
Played against Leeds anymore for a bit?
No, picked up a knock.
Right, okay, fair enough.
He built on Bergwijn.
Right.
For a little bit.
Okay.
But yeah, Kulu's the preferred choice. He's coming and he's set the world alight. He's made such a difference.
He's looked very, very good. What about if you're like me and you've got Reggie on?
Don't ask me
about... What are we doing about this guy? Because he's just frustrating the hell out of me. But I'm looking at those fixtures thinking, well, if he can be fit, I want to keep him. But I thought he was going to be fit for that game.
Well, so did I.
He's just frustrating the life out of me, honestly. At a time when actually you've got... I'm not suggesting going in... Well, all right, let me put this out there. I was going to say not suggesting Doherty, but...
No.
Yeah, I don't
Absolutely
think so either.
Not.
I don't think so either. I think when you play a team like Leeds, and Doherty does not have to do... And by the way, I think Conte is slowly getting this into his system. That's why he prefers... I think he prefers Sessegnon to Reguilón. And I think he likes Doherty on that side. Because actually, both of those two guys, when they have no defensive responsibility, like none, right? As soon as you ask Sessegnon or Doherty to defend, it's a shambles. But if you say to those guys, just attack and don't worry about what's going on behind. And by the way, we've just signed Bentancur, who'll slot into that back three with the other three into a four, and you guys just carry on bombing forward. I think possibly their options. I'm not going to sit here on an FPL live stream and talk about buying Doherty, but top for BPS this week, got his goal from a Sessegnon assist, by the way. That Conte system, I know it's Leeds, they were crap, I understand all that, but that Conte system...
How much did you drink when I was putting the kids to bed?
This is true.
What on earth?
It's a hard nail on Doherty. I'm trying to make the case, but...
You've won the cup and you've suddenly lost the plot. Doherty's an option. No.
Okay.
Let's...
Never seen you shut me down as quick as that.
I mean, no. No. I just can't see it at all. I think Conte said, didn't he? I picked a slightly different... There you go, drinking again. I think Conte picked a slightly different strategy.
If I have a couple more, I might bring Doherty.
Oh, Christ. Good luck with that. It'll be more frustrating than owning Reguilón.
Reguilón to Doherty, out the frying pan, into the fire. But as Josh is saying, Josh telling us in, hey Josh, how are we doing?
Josh, don't tell me you've come here to say that Doherty's an option.
No, he's here to say sell Reguilón for a Chelsea defender this week, yeah. which is absolutely on the cards, Josh. I think
we'll find out with Reguilón what's really going on in the FA Cup, I think, because there is potential that his COVID thing was just still a bit hanging in the air. Conte
if
said
he plays in the cup, I'm like, is well, he then second choice?
No, I don't think he is second choice. But Conte basically said something about how, I can't think exactly what his words were, but it was something about how it was a different strategy for this opposition.
Okay.
So I think against the slightly more difficult sides, it'll bring Reguilón back, but then do you want him against the more difficult sides?
The strategy being the fullbacks did not need to defend. Doherty did not have to do any defending,
yeah.
Really, in anger. He might have been in a defensive position, but he was not obliged to do any defending, and that suited his game.
Yeah.
It suited his game.
But it was nice to watch for a change.
Well, yeah, listen,
I want to play on Saturdays more often.
3-0 up after Saturdays. Half an hour. It was Leeds were shot. Absolutely shot. A quick chat on Brighton nil Aston Villa 2, which is as interesting. I mean, we'll talk about Villa in a second because they've got the nice double game week come out. Let's just quickly remind ourselves of the Aston Villa fixtures. Southampton and, of course, that aforementioned very leaky Leeds back line. So Southampton is at home is not easy, but Leeds away potentially could get some goals there. And then they've got the single game week in 29 against West Ham away. So Aston Villa assets... Is this the last game week you would have them and then you're looking to sell? Or is Jacob Ramsey and players like that... I mean, for me, Jacob Ramsey is cheap enough that he can carry on being in my team as far as I'm concerned. But if you've got a Coutinho, you've got a Dinho and you're invested, you're obviously keeping them for 28. But what about those fixtures going forward? Are they sells after that?
Maybe. Coutinho makes a nice sell to Kudu if you, for between 28 and 29, play the Villa double in 28, the Spurs double in 29.
Possible.
That's got potential to it. There are other options in that kind of 6.5-ish million bracket, 7.5-ish million bracket that you could go to quite nicely from Coutinho. I think you're right in what you say about Jacob Ramsey. I think Luka Dinho is the more interesting one because obviously, as Josh mentioned, we are all about to go back in on Chelsea and probably in quite a big way given the double game weeks and given the fixtures that they have between now and the end of the season. So
a double game week where one of the fixtures is Leeds, you ain't selling Aston Villa right now,
absolutely
are you? You're bringing
not.
Them in.
No.
And what about Ollie Watkins? A well-taken goal against Brighton.
Yeah, first goal since game week 14. Yeah. Can you tell I wrote an Aston Villa article today?
Very good. Very good.
And yeah, I mean, he looked good actually in that game again. And I think, you know, what's really interesting here though is that Brighton are awful at home. Put the Brighton away from home, they play really well.
Yeah, what's
their
the deal with
that?
Their
home fixtures are...
One win in the last 5 months, I heard on the radio.
Their
earlier.
Home form is appalling. It's awful.
I didn't realise it was that bad.
No, it's awful. And actually, I also wrote about Brighton today. When you break down their articles for... when you break down Morpie's underlying stats this season, home and away, his average points per 90 is double in away matches what it is in home matches. Like it's night and day between what they do at the Amex and what they do on the road. And when I did the Q&A with Az on Friday, he was saying that part of the problem with the Amex is that it's like the Brighton fans aren't supportive. They are on their backs the whole time. Whereas when they go away, they don't have that. And I wonder whether there's an element of truth in that, to be honest. But I think Brighton at home, they're just not the same team as they are when they go on the road.
Clearly not. Because Aston Villa under Stevie were struggling a little bit away from home. But actually, it was as is being said in the live chat, it was a bit of a dull game, right? It was a fairly routine win. Aston Villa, where Brighton didn't really threaten too much.
Villa haven't been doing lately. You know? They haven't been able to win routine games in this way in the last couple of game weeks. So to go to Brighton and get the 3 points was impressive. And I think, you know, like you say, nice double game week to come.
How about that strike from Matty Cash, by the way?
Really good. What a goal. Actually, really good.
What a goal.
And I think, you know, they're... All right, hear me out on this. But I don't think that there's a real big standout captaincy pick this week. You look at the game week 28 fixtures... You're going to probably want to target a double game weeker. There's not a Spurs.
What are you thinking?
There's not a Liverpool.
Go on.
There's not,
I feel a like, rogue pick coming on it.
But Coutinho,
right? Okay.
For me, if you own him, is up there definitely in the captaincy conversation this week.
Okay. All right. And Mr. Watkins up front gets his first goal also in the for a little while. Well taken goal, as I mentioned before. In the conversation?
Yeah, I mean...
For captaincy? No. Well, in your team, maybe.
Definitely in your team, yeah. I would have him in my team 100%. Would I put him in the captaincy conversation? Well, probably. I mean, I just look back to that last game where Aston Villa played Leeds. Jacob Ramsey got a brace, didn't he? Coutinho got a goal and 2 assists.
Oh, like, earlier this season when they played Leeds.
Yeah, like 5 weeks ago.
At Villa Park, yes.
Yeah,
yes,
yes. It was a really, really...
That was the first Ramsey haul that I benched.
That you benched, oh, yeah. Geez, yeah, that was a great... I don't think I benched him that week, did I? I think I played him for that one. Yeah, I think for me... Aston Villa up there in that conversation. If you've got a Villa asset, they've got to be in the captaincy conversation. It's a bit more difficult if it's Jacob Ramsey that's your Villa asset.
Yeah, and as Great Del Mondo is saying in the live chat, Coutinho, as a midfield runner, will destroy Leeds, but then potentially fade away. It'd be interesting to see that, actually. Leeds do struggle with that. They struggle with direct players that run at them between those lines. And I hate to reel out the Calvin Phillips rhetoric again, but... Those spaces in between defence and midfield, so exposed. And Kane was picking up the ball in those places. Oh, all right, his execution was phenomenal. But he still had time and space to execute in the way that he wanted to do. And Son picking up those spaces as well.
And as
you can see Coutinho and Ramsey exploiting that.
And as we saw against Spurs, you know, they tried to man-mark Son out of the game and it failed so badly because Luke Ayling just wasn't up to that. And if they try and do that with Coutinho, it will fail again. So... Leeds are going to need a very different strategy for dealing with Aston Villa to the one that they tried to deploy against Spurs, because otherwise it's going to be another hammering.
Okay, we'll just briefly touch on some of the other games in just a second. But one of the teams that didn't play this weekend, of course, because they're in the Carabao Cup final, but do look as if they're going to have a double game week in 28, are Chelsea.
Yes.
So we haven't seen a lot of Chelsea, quite frankly, in the Premier League recently, because they've been off winning, you know, best team in the world and all the rest of it. But right now, on the fixture ticker, and let's just recap this for those that weren't here right at the beginning of the stream, they have Burnley away in 28, single game week. So what, you might say. Mm-hmm. However, if... and let me get this right? So...
If Norwich or Chelsea win their matches...
Yes, and you would expect Chelsea to beat Luton in the Cup. We're expecting that.
We're not expecting Norwich to beat Liverpool.
No, but if Chelsea beat Luton in the FA Cup in this next round...
Yes.
...then their fixture will be freed up in 28 against Norwich. So actually, they will have a double game week, Chelsea,
it will
of
go
Burnley
in there.
And Norwich.
Yes.
So that's why we need to talk about it.
Yes.
If Luton beat them, forget this conversation ever happened. But if they beat Luton, which we're expecting...
Well,
that
unless
is
Norwich
a...
beat Liverpool.
Okay. This is a very nice-looking double game week, potentially, for Chelsea with Burnley and Norwich. So who is on the radar? And do we really know who
really
is on the radar? Because we haven't seen a lot of them, right?
No. I mean, Reece James came back into the game today during the cup final. Great to see him back. Obviously, he goes back up on the radar. But is he... It sounded like when they made that substitution that it was a bit earlier than they wanted him back. Like, it didn't seem like they wanted
to... Played a good hour tonight as well, didn't
he? Yeah, and it didn't seem like that's what they wanted to have given him. He obviously came on because of injury. So that will be something that's kind of got to be taken into account.
Are we all just piling back onto Rudiger then in terms of defence?
Potentially, yes. Okay.
I thought it impressed me today in the Carabao Cup, actually. I thought Kai Havertz had a really good game.
Yeah, well, the midfield...
Really good game. And Mason Mount.
Midfield from Chelsea is really interesting, isn't it? Because obviously you've got a few in there. So it's been Ziyech, actually, the one that's been the most impressive in the Premier League, has returned in the last three, but then is injured. So will he be available? Will he be... How much game time are we expecting him to get?
Yeah.
So then you've got a kind of midfield conversation, because I don't think you're going Lukaku. So you're either going Havertz... potentially maybe Pulisic or Mount. They seem to be the three options that you have in midfield. I struggle with which one because I don't feel like I've seen enough of Chelsea in recent weeks and a consistent Chelsea team in recent weeks. So I will be watching them in the FA Cup against Luton. But of course, they've just played
120 minutes
and gone through a penalty
shootout. Looked out on their feet, as did Liverpool in that extra time.
With all due respect to Luton, it's Luton. You shouldn't expect that Chelsea would need to play the full 11 that they were going to play in the Premier League. So I don't think, again, we're going to get a full understanding of Chelsea in that moment. So given
there's that uncertainty then, who do you think are the safest picks? Feels like Rudiger's a safe pick.
Yeah.
If you're feeling a little bit more like a gamble, maybe it's Reece James. And maybe Reece James plays against Luton to see how that injury reacts. And then all of a sudden he's got an hour tonight. He's got Luton. He's got 90 minutes, maybe 70, 80 in him against Luton. Mm. And then he's ready for this potential double game week, maybe. But let's not forget, you know, Burnley away, difficult fixture, as Spurs found out last week, right? Sorry to bring that. Chelsea going to Turf Moor.
What's that about?
Well, I just thought I'd mention it again. Going to Turf Moor, not easy. So even that, the double game. So for me, I'm like you. If I'm going to go to Chelsea defender, which I probably am because I'm sick of Reguilón, I'm probably going to go Rudiger. But that feels very safe. It just feels a bit boring. I don't know. But if I was going to go in midfield,
Christensen's out.
I think it probably would be Mason Mount. Probably would be the safer option. But I don't really. Well, we should have some stats here, shouldn't we? Maybe you can get onto that with ours at Scout and do an article about Chelsea players because I'd love to read that. I'd love to know who you think, based on recent performances, of which there haven't really been any in the Premier League, who the Chelsea midfielder is to go for. One thing's for sure: I don't think I'm shelling out for Lukaku. Put it that way.
No, I don't think you are. I mean, he didn't start the cup final today. When he came on, I didn't think he was very...
If you've got Ronaldo on your team and you're looking to sell, you are not getting Lukaku over Kane right now. No chance.
No, absolutely not.
So there we go. So that is Chelsea. I don't want to spend too much time talking about Everton nil Man City one other than to say I just don't know what to say anymore about the state of officiating in this country. I mean, that is just disgusting. It's disgusting. And of course, I'm biased because I'm looking for... Obviously, I'm not delighted if Everton get a point ever, right, as a Liverpool fan. But obviously, I'm delighted if City are dropping points in this title race. It's a disgusting decision.
We went out for dinner last night and we walked.
Oh, yeah.
And we were walking along and I said to Lee, right, we won't check the score because it will just annoy us both. But the slackers will let me know because my phone will go mental in my pocket if something happens, and it did. And so it was 1-0, and then as we walked around the corner, we walked past a pub.
Yeah.
And the TV's in the corner of the pub window. And Lee went, oh, it's the purple screen of death.
The VAR screen.
So we stopped with another random person we'd never met before.
There's a few of us congregating outside the pub watching it through the window. Uh-huh. It's insane.
And then we were like, what's happening? The guy was like, oh, I think it's a handball. It's probably going to be an Everton penalty. And we were like, all right. Watching it, and then it came on, and we were like,
and I saw it, didn't we? We saw it, and of course, we can't hear it.
No,
we're just looking at it from outside the pub. And I saw it, I was like, that is a pen, yes. And I'm like, I'm celebrating, I'm like, that is a pen, get in. And they just kick off, they just carry on the game.
But even on Match of the Day, when we got home, of course, Spurs won, so we had to watch Match of the Day. And I was like, I can't fathom. And the guys on Match of the Day couldn't fathom it either, could they?
I mean, I don't.
I personally don't really know if that's not a handball, what is a handball. But yeah, we are.
Just unbelievable.
I mean, Cancelo got a clean sheet out of it, so...
I don't know.
Fine.
Yeah. I noticed that
Bernardo Silva has got a couple of assists since I sold him as well.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, that's true. I did see a tweet earlier today that talked about the fact that... Oh, I don't know if I can even get away with this. This is highly cynical. But the tweet suggested... that, you know, Sky and the Premier League have got to bill this upcoming Liverpool-Manchester City game as a title decider, right? So
Oh, behave.
Are they giving City results?
Who's tweeting that nonsense?
Are they giving City results there?
Nobody's giving
any
results.
Are they a bit biased against... They're making sure that they can market that in the right way, that game?
Who's tweeting that nonsense?
Oh, I tell you, I'm going to get in trouble for saying that. We'll edit that out. It's not going out
live.
I
can't say that.
Oh, goodness me.
Good grief. I'm glad you better not have tweeted that. That absolute nonsense.
No, I didn't tweet it. A few of you guys are saying that there was an offside in the build-up. Yeah, possibly.
Is that what it was?
Possibly. But listen, I'm not having that. It was an it was a handball and it was a shocker. Anyway, from a Man City perspective, it's United up next. No double game weeks, as we know. Yeah. But the fixtures still look all right. It's United, then Palace, then Brighton, then Burnley. And then it's that aforementioned title decider against us in game week 32. So what are you thinking about your City assets? You're still on Cancelo.
I've only got Cancelo.
You've got rid of Bernardo and I've got Foden. How are you feeling about Cancelo and or bringing in any other City assets right now? There's other teams to target, right? There's other double game weekers I think you're going for above the City assets, don't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. They're not top of our thoughts right now.
No, I mean, I'm sort of talking about Bernardo Silva in a bit of jest there, and I say he's got a couple of assists since I sold him. I mean, he has, but I sold him for Son. So it's not exactly like, you know, the player I've bought in has been awful.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think for me, I'm happy to own Cancelo. He's a player that will stay. But I don't feel the need to have any more than Cancelo in my team right now. I think City, actually, oh God, this is going to be contentious as well. I haven't been that impressed with City the last couple of weeks.
No, I tend to agree.
I didn't think that they were that great against us. And that's not with any Spurs bias on. I mean, I thought it was a great match, match. But I didn't think that they were at their normal City, slick, sophisticated best in that game. And I also don't think that they were against Everton.
Okay.
This weekend, Everton, I think, were always likely to run out of puff because it was just attack after attack.
What about the toppies then going forward? Because they've got Spurs next, so I don't think anyone's bringing them in ahead of this cup coming game week. But then they've got a double, which I think is, tell me if I'm wrong, guys, I think it's Wolves and Newcastle at home. So, you know, two games there at Goodison, worthy of a look maybe this time next week?
Maybe, but then,
performance against Spurs, and I think they'll be on the radar, won't they?
Well, I don't know.
Possibly.
Van de Beek went off injured, didn't he? And then Dominic Calvert-Lewin's got some sort of groin issue that was unheard of before the deadline.
Kind of a bit out of the blue, didn't it? The DCL thing.
Well, I mean, I sold him and then actually was a bit worried about him and sold him. And then obviously got this injury that came from nothing. I don't know. Look, it's difficult with Everton because they're like a roller coaster right now. You never really know which Everton are going to turn up.
I don't think we need to spend any more time talking about them because I think with this single game week against Spurs coming up, no, but this time next week, when we're sitting here talking about the upcoming next double game, which will be 29, then they might come into our thoughts if we've seen something that we like against Spurs. So then a quick chat about Wolves then. So Wolves, an uncharacteristically sloppy goal to concede against West Ham. I thought Wolves have been obviously defensively very tight so far this season. But a double game week, which couldn't, to be honest, look too much better. Let's just remind ourselves of the fixtures for Wolves. Jump back into the fixture ticker. There we go, right at the top, Palace and Watford at home. And then it looks pretty good after that as well. So it was for this reason that I bought in Raul Jimenez a week or so ago. Disappointed to see him benched against West Ham this game week. What's going on there? Is there a problem or is it a rest?
I don't think so. I think
it was a rest.
He pretty much gave his whole team a rest. Like, just changed everything up And I think, you know, they're going into a busy period of time. Jimenez has played a lot of minutes. He's got Hwang back from injury.
Yeah.
There was an opportunity. I think he saw this as an opportunity to give Jimenez a bit of a rest. I don't think it's an issue moving forward. I thought that they looked less potent without him, actually.
Yeah.
I thought Wolves...
Oh, yeah, they're bound to, right? It's their best forward.
Yeah, and I thought Wolves generally were a bit meh today. I thought they missed Semedo. Yeah, I just thought there were some issues in the Wolves team today. And as you say, the goal that they conceded was sloppy as. It's not the sort of thing that we're used to seeing from them. They're normally very, very solid on this sort of thing. So, yeah, disappointing, I think, particularly if you're invested in the Wolves defence. I was disappointed as a Jimenez owner because I looked at today's game and I had Bowen and Jimenez. And I was thinking, a return from either of you is a really great differential for this week because so nobody on free hits has got them.
So how are you feeling about Jarrod Bowen going forward? Because Shakalaka Mekaleka, thank you for the super chat. I love saying that name. 4-0 at Anfield. Will it continue? So again, it's the upcoming fixture for West Ham is Liverpool next, yeah. Right? So what about Bowen? I must admit, and we'll talk about my team in a bit, I sold him this week, Bowen. Yeah. And I took a risk because I
was
home to Wolves, I thought, well, you know, he could do the business there, but I've got to take a risk. I didn't fancy it to be high scoring.
Okay.
So I thought if he gets one, he's probably only going to get one, Bowen. Mm-hmm. Of course, that can mean 9 or 10 points, but I didn't fancy it to be high scoring, as was the case, right? So I took a bit of a risk, and I'm kind of happy that that's paid off because now, going into the double game week next week, I can see a lot of people selling him now because he's had a couple of games where he's maybe not been quite as sharp, maybe, and I'm clutching at straws a little bit because he had a fantastic season, Bowen. But now goes to Anfield in a week where we'll be trying to get as many double game weekers as possible. A quick look at the fixtures on the horizon for West Ham as well, and it's Aston Villa in 29. So again, not a double. So we'll be looking, obviously in 29, we'll be sitting here this time next week talking about all these teams that double. And West Ham have got Villa at home, which is not a terrible fixture, but it's not a double. Then they go away to Spurs, then it's Everton and Brentford. So the next three or so, could you do without Bowen? Is he a sell now ahead of this week?
Could be, couldn't he? I mean, if you want a Chelsea midfielder, but he should have got one today. There was a moment where I was like, you whacked one from inside the penalty box. I was like,
correct.
A Wolves defender just got in the way of it. And
yeah.
I mean, he could have and probably should have got some points today for that. It's a difficult one with Bowen because...
Been so good for us.
Been so good. But we've said all along, it's felt like a purple patch. And...
It's a hell of a purple patch, though.
But the thing with purple patches is that they start... And then they end at some point. They don't indefinitely. I mean, like, there's very few players, Mo Salah, I'm looking at you, who play a whole season consistently as well as. And if Bowen was to go the whole season playing the way that he has over the last few months, that would be unheard of, really, for him. You know, they were saying on Sky today when I was watching that game, you know, season's gone by, bring him off on 70 minutes would be, just there and thereabouts, but nothing major.
Yeah.
He's a dilemma for me, I must admit. I've currently got him benched for game week 28.
Many will. Yeah.
But he could easily become a Chelsea player. But to be honest, if he becomes a Chelsea player, and I was saying this to Josh earlier, I mean that's bench boost territory then, because I've got too many players that I've got.
What if you haven't got a Rafinha or a Coutinho? That's a fairly easy move from Bowen to one of those two, right?
Yeah.
Double game week. Nice double game weeks for both versus going to Anfield.
Yeah.
Listen, he can do that. He can score at Anfield, no doubt about it, but it's a difficult game on paper.
Yeah.
It's a dilemma now. Bowen is a dilemma, no doubt about it. Rick L, thank you, Rick L, for the comment. Yes, Bowen's a sell. He's been poor. Well, maybe in very, very recent history, last couple of games maybe, but he's been sensational. I think it's a very reluctant sell. Very reluctant sell. And Franklin Anthony, Bowen is going for me to fund a Chelsea defender. So similar to you, Sam, he's thinking Bowen out for Chelsea, but using the funds to go a bit bigger at the back with a Chelsea defender. So interesting to see what people do with Bowen this week. Interesting to see, because that Aston Villa game at home in game week 29 doesn't look too bad, but no one's going to be talking about him because all of these other teams have got double game weeks. And West Ham, don't double. So there we go. That's a quick rundown of what's happened this weekend in FPL. Burnley have got Leicester, of course, on Tuesday, the 1st of March. So for those of us that have got...
Is that pancake day?
It is Shrove Tuesday.
Lovely.
So we can have some pancakes and watch the Veghorst hat-trick against that Leicester back line. That would be nice, wouldn't it?
I do want Leicester to score, though. I don't have a Burnley defender.
True. Yeah, sorry, free hitters. But yeah, we do want a Leicester goal in that game. Talk us through your team so far this week. So Veghorst is still to play. But in a week where I think we both were looking at it going, we're not free hitting. We're trying to limit the damage against those that are free hitting. It ain't bad. 48 minus 4 with a rank change of minus 8.31 down to 114k. That feels fine for someone not free hitting.
Yeah, I'm all right with it.
Yeah.
I am all right with it.
I mean, not amazing, but it feels okay.
Honestly, I was worried about all the free hitters because there was definitely a free hit template. And it involved a lot of Manchester City, it involved a lot of Manchester United, and it involved the double up at Spurs.
Could have looked very different if Bruno had got some points, I'll tell you. Bruno, and honestly, he made the difference, I think, for this week.
If Sterling had scored that goal instead of Foden, if Bruno had scored, if Kane and Son had done anything else, if, you know, there were so many things that could have happened that would have just killed me off.
Yeah.
And it could have been an absolute disaster. And at the beginning of this week, I kind of thought if I can go into it and hold ish rank, I'll be happy with that.
Yeah.
Because my team is actually set up really nicely for game week 28. And it also looks quite nice for game week 29.
Yeah. But actually, your defence, if you look at those defenders, I mean, I think most free hitters would have stuck with Cancelo probably. But Dino and Livramento, I see a lot of free hitters probably taking those guys out, and they come back and get 14 points between them. That ain't bad, is it?
No, it's not at all.
That ain't bad, but take that.
So, I'm all right with it. And I finally got rid of Josh King. The -4 was the Josh King to Broya thing, and I did that at the last minute. But I did that because I've now got like 3.5 million in the bank, so I can easily afford to go Brandon Williams up to a Chelsea defender if that's what I choose to do.
Is that your early transfer thoughts? Is that kind of what you're thinking?
Well, I'll obviously be waiting to see what happens in the FA Cup.
Of course.
But that's the obvious transfer for me this week is to go back to Rudiger from Brandon Williams. But then it puts me in that scope where you are, where you never want to bench a fourth.
You always want to play four at the back.
And that's a problem because I like the front ones that I have, which probably then means that Broglie is getting benched a lot.
Yeah.
Although Weghorst moving forward is probably a player that's going to get benched a lot. But he was my Kane on wildcard. That was the Kane spot. So
Weghorst is an interesting one, you know, because actually, again, I appreciate flicking back to the fixtures. But if you look at Burnley going forward, of course, they've had this double-double, which is one of the main reasons we brought him in. But then it's Chelsea at home, single game week in 28. So he's going to be on my bench, is the reality for that, probably.
Yeah.
Away at Brentford, home to Southampton, City, Norwich. It's mixed and no more double game weeks coming up. So, I mean...
But could we be
getting off of the big wagon as soon as we got on it?
But there will be more doubles for Burnley. They haven't had them all rearranged. Yeah, and they have still got to get out of the relegation battle.
Yeah.
So I think Weghorst still continues to offer some degree of positivity for FPL managers moving forward, in the same way that I like to target those that are going for Champions League and Europa League football, because there's something for them to play for between now and the end of the season, if that's what you want.
Sure. And FPL Shorts is in the live chat. He's saying, surely, Sam, you've got to get Kane in by hook or by crook. So Weghorst to Kane, how would you do it? Or I'm assuming... Is Kane a bit of a no-go at the minute? It's just budget, for budget reasons, you can't get there.
Well, no, I could. But is that the priority over a Chelsea player if Chelsea double in 28? Maybe. Like, I think there's things to consider there. So the way I would probably do it, like I said, I've got some money in the bank, so I could go Jimenez. That's the other option, because obviously he's more expensive than Weghorst. Take Jimenez up. I'd still need a bit of money, so that would mean either Bowen going down, or maybe it's Son to Kulu, and then it's the money from Son into Kane.
Okay, all right, interesting. And talk to me about your chip strategy going forward then, because I must admit, I opened the app, as I usually do when the deadline passes, and I set my bus team for next week, so my team, you know, in case I get hit by a bus, copyright,
thank you.
Always cheating. And I set my team up, and I thought, that's entirely bench boostable. But then I looked ahead to what my team would look like in game week 29, and I thought, oh, that also looks bench boostable. So I can see me maybe using the bench boost somewhere in the next couple of weeks. Do you have the same thinking? Is your team in good shape for next week? How are you feeling about that?
Yeah, I mean, the team looks really nice for next week. And if I bring in if Chelsea do double and I bring in a Chelsea player, then I have probably got a conversation to be had about the bench boost chip at that point.
Okay.
I do also kind of like the idea of it in game week 29. I also like the idea of it potentially in game week 33 or 36, because they also look like they're going to be nice double game weeks.
Sure, yeah.
So my current chip strategy is, and for those of you that have watched me on the Q&A with Az on Friday, sorry, I've spoken about this once, but I think my current thinking is either that I will wildcard in game week 20, ahead of game week 29. But my team doesn't feel like it needs a wild card right now.
No, sure. Yeah, totally.
I feel like I wouldn't be making that many changes Yes, I'd bring Kane in on it, but I don't think it would fundamentally be that different to what it is now. And then I would look to a free hit in game week 30, and then the bench boost chip would get played in 33.
Okay.
Or I play through 28 and 29, and maybe the bench boost comes out depending upon what happens in the next game week announcement.
Yeah.
And then the still free hit in game week 30, and then the wild card would happen then in game week 31, ready for a bench boost probably in 33. But I feel like the wild card any later than 31, and am I really getting its value because it's so close to the end of the season? But then am I really getting its value if I make four changes?
Yeah.
So it's a bit up in the air.
Okay, it's difficult. I mean, for me, I must admit, I had the free hit more or less booked in for game week 30, and I've got my one free hit left. And I've always had it earmarked for game week 30, because game week 30, there's going to be so many, I think, big teams getting through this round of the FA Cup.
We think so,
which therefore is going to affect the amount of fixtures that we're going to have in 30. It's going to be it's going to be diabolical. We're only going to have, you know, maybe six, maximum eight teams playing. One of the FA Cup games, I think, isn't it Burnley and Southampton? Or there's one of the FA Cup fixtures that really affects whether Burnley and Southampton goes ahead in 30. And if it does, there's a chance I've got half a team out because I've got a couple of Southampton players and some Burnley players. But I don't know. Anyway, the bottom line is,
I've got five at the moment.
The bottom line is, you got to wait. We've got to see how these FA Cup ties play out. We've got to see whether what happens, what we think's going to happen, happens, which is all the big boys go through because they've got nice draws. Mm. And then we'll have a look at how game week 30 looks after that FA Cup ties, right?
Yeah, right. Absolutely. And we'll know by the middle of this week as to what's happening in game week 30.
All right, very good. So here's my team. In a week where I was similar to you, I was just looking to be as average as possible, to just limit the damage of the free hit, the people that were free hitting. I think I've done it. My rank change has gone up, but by a smidgen, right? 1%.
It's Foden for
1%. You. 1%. And Foden's made the difference, no doubt about it. For all of the free hitters to go to all of the other Man City midfielders, and for Foden to pop up with the goal was honestly a stroke of luck that I was, you know, really, really hoping for. There's my Reguilón problem at the back. He's going to come off and Ramsey's going to come on. So I'm actually probably just about going to squeak over 50 for the game week so far. Weghorst still as a captaincy. But listen, Foden and Livramento totally making the difference for me. My transfers this week were, I took, like you, I did Josh King to Broja. Listen, it would have been nice to get something from Broja this week, but I bought him in for the next few weeks, so no panic there whatsoever. And like you say, he's a reasonable price, so no panic. But also the Bowen to Son transfer has worked out for me. And I think going into next game week, going into 28, there is now some doubt, I think, about Bowen. Whereas I think Son, you know, I haven't got any doubt about him. I'm very happy to own him over the next few weeks.
That was going to be my question to you, because you spent a lot of time pondering on Son or Kane.
Yeah.
And eventually settled on Son, but any regrets?
A little. Yeah, a little. I mean, Kane was unbelievable this week, but he was also pretty good against Man City. And then if you look at his underlying stats,
he was quite
he's
good
actually
against
been
Burnley.
Pretty good against Burnley. And it's like, well, how far do you go back? And at what stage do you go, well, actually, he's playing bloody brilliant right now. And he is, I thought he was fantastic against Leeds. Now, I still think, don't take this the wrong way, but I still think you've got the potential to be a bit Spursy. Because you go from Man City, where you were fantastic, to Burnley, where you weren't very good, to Leeds, where you're fantastic. It's still pretty hit and miss. And actually, Burnley, I didn't think Burnley were amazing. I just thought Burnley were very organised. And Leeds were just disorganised. And if you're disorganised against this Spurs team, they will punish you. But if you're organised, you can quell them a little bit. You can make them less effective, I think. And if you get around Kane in the right areas and you track your runners, Leeds didn't do any of that at the weekend. And they got smashed, and rightly so, right? So I still not entirely, like, if anyone wanted to go with Son and Kane for the upcoming fixtures based on what they saw at the weekend, I don't think I can get behind that. I don't think I can get behind that rhetoric, because you still got the opportunity for Spurs to lose 1-0 somewhere along the line. However, I'm happy to have Son. If I could have my time again and I could pick one of the two, I probably would go Kane now, I think. I probably would go Kane based on what I saw at the weekend, just because his underlying stats are good. He's translating that into points right now. He's got good fixtures coming up. He's got the form. Just this this thing in my head as well. I mentioned it before. If you're late to the live stream, I still think Kulusevski coming in and doing such and doing so well in that Spurs team. I think that has a negative impact on Son. I really do. I'm interested to see how that plays out over the next few weeks. I think Kane's going to get the points either way. But does he get his head up now and think, which option should I go for? Whereas in the past, he automatically got it to Son. I'm interested to see how that works.
Most
I'm
prolific
works.
Ever partnership.
They are. I'm not saying anything about them too. Them two are unbelievable.
They are brothers.
So on the same wavelength. It is unreal. But I just think now, when Kane picks it up in that position that he likes to pick it up, that quarterback role, as I call it, and he gets his head up, and he has no one charging at him because Leeds did not shut him down at all at the weekend, and he gets his head up, he has to think, who do I hit? And who's making the right run? Whereas before, it was automatic. I'm going to, and I know where Son's going to be. Now he's like, well, I know Son's going to be, but Kulu's made a good run as well. So there's just that element of, I don't know, I'm really interested to see how that front three plays out for Spurs, because I think Conte's just starting to get it right, and I think he's just starting to get the fullbacks working in the way that he wants them as well. You've got to keep hold of this manager, by the way. You've got to keep hold of this manager. He keeps coming out and saying things in the press about which are very passive-aggressive towards Daniel Levy.
But then he comes out and says, I'm never leaving.
No, but listen, he's... You know what you... We could go off on a whole tangent here, which I'm not going to do, but you know what you were getting when you got Antonio Conte. You got one of the best managers in the world.
Yeah.
If you do not back him with signings, he will walk away.
They
and he will do
him
that.
In the summer.
Well, they should have backed him in January and they didn't.
Kulu's fabulous. What is there? What more could he wanted?
Adama Traore and Luis Diaz is
what
he wanted.
Nobody wanted Adama Traore.
You wanted Adama Traore.
Stop it with Adama Traore. None of us wanted him. Luis Diaz, yes, we did want. But your lot, cheating
we backdoored
Northerners.
You. We backdoored you like you did with Dempsey to us and Willian. Only,
yeah,
only for Chelsea to backdoor you, which was hilarious. Anyway, so yes, a solid looking game week for me, which in a game week where a lot of other FPL managers have used a free hit.
You're in a lot of trouble by the time we get off this
cool
stream.
With. I'm absolutely cool with. So there we go. That is it. That is it for this week, Sam. Let's talk about...
You're going to ask me about what we're doing this week.
I am
going
to ask you about
don't
what's going on this
phone.
Week.
Don't have my phone. I don't know. I don't have my phone. It had no battery. I've put it on charge. It's over there. Hang on.
I'm surely there will be some FPL podding and stuff going on this week. I don't understand why you don't prepare this.
Well, I've been busy putting the kids to bed and sorting the dinner and everything else while you drank beer and watched the cup final.
If you look at the analytics for our videos, it gets to this screen and it just tails off.
Well, that's because nobody really minds.
Because people are just like, right, the analysis is done. I'd love to know what Sam and Lee are doing this week, but I never do because Sam doesn't know. Go on, let's have a moment of dead air for the podcasters. Ready? Silence.
Shut up. You're in so much trouble with me. You're going to be in big, big trouble.
I'm in too good a mood. I don't care. I'm in a great mood. I'm going to have another beer in a minute.
You are not.
Why did you say it like that? Oh my God. I'm going to get pelters for that on Twitter. You are not. You will not have another beer. Do you think James from Planet FPL has that from his missus? He has a beer on stream. His missus doesn't go, you will not have another beer. Anyway, I've appropriately filled the dead air, dear. What are we doing this week? Are you podding? Are you showing? Or what's going on?
Nothing's happening this week.
Right, after all that, we're doing
nothing.
I'll
be Q&A-ing with ours this week, as usual.
Excellent,
standard behaviour on. But we're off this week in terms of official stuff. And then, but from the week after, we're back on. On the 10th and the 17th, I think the 10th we're on together and the 17th is just me.
Wicked.
Both late night shows because midweek fixtures again.
Oh, late one. Love it.
Yeah.
Okay, very good. Well, there we go, guys. You'll not see too much of us on official FPL podcast or shows this week, but go and check out the Fantasy Football Scout YouTube channel. Go and subscribe over there as well. You'll see plenty more of Sam over there, plenty more of Az and all the guys over at the Fantasy Football Scout website and the FF Scout YouTube channel.
He doesn't give me all this grief, by the way.
No, he doesn't.
Well, I pod with Az.
But you probably don't give him any back. Do you say to him, you can't have another beer, Az?
He doesn't... slag my team off.
Sometimes he does. Sometimes he does, and
not,
he's right to.
Not when I'm on there.
He's right to. Well, there we go. And you can start slagging his team off a little bit now. What is that? 1 win in 5 months at home. Brighton.
What's the Q&A derby coming up in really game 29?
Is that what it is?
Well, it will be, won't it?
That's
Brighton
true.
And Spurs.
Yeah, that's true.
So that week, there might be. We might have a round, me and Az.
There we go. There we go. Guys, thank you for joining us this evening. 500 of you in still, guys, despite all this nonsense
about
you looking at your phone for half an hour. So 505 people in, guys. Leave us a like before you go. Really helps us with all the YouTube algorithms, helps us to reach newer people and a bigger audience. And if you're not subscribed yet, we'd love for you to consider hitting that subscribe button so that you know when we go live or when there's a new video on the channel, you'll be notified every time that pops up. So until this time, next week, when we've got yet another big double game week going on around us, they feel relentless right now.
Our heads are going to explode at some point, aren't
they? Doubles all over the place. I absolutely love it. Until this time next week, guys, enjoying Green Arrows. Good luck to Veghorst captainers on Tuesday. Cheers, guys.
Bye, guys.